You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Riot After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Riot After Show.
Hey, AfterBuzz TV fans, we're back with another episode of Riot. We're on episode 4 this time, which means we're halfway through the season. There's 8 episodes in total. Great to have you guys with us. That is the theme song to The Gong Show, a nice little throwback game show. Adrian Snow, my lovely co-host,
hello,
with us again tonight. How do you feel about episode 4?
You know, I really liked the guest tonight, Rob Delaney and David Arquette.
Exactly.
I thought they were much more amiable and happy to be there and calm.
Definitely. It seemed like they sort of vibed off each other and both had a very positive energy this time, which was great. Last episode, I feel like maybe Tom Green and Andy Dick sort of both have the same thing where it's a bit negative. And so can kind of drag the scene down a little bit into a specific area where this was more anything can happen.
Yeah. It was just – last week was more – I felt kind of like there was a weird tension where everyone was maybe mildly irritated. And then it didn't work. And they actually were able to actually get more in this episode, I think, because the guys were just easier to work with and I think a little bit more into the game.
Absolutely. I definitely felt, as a viewer, that the contestants were very eager to kind of get in and, and play with the scene a lot, which helped. I mean, it seemed like everybody was having so much fun, you know, it kind of rubbed off on me, which was great.
Yeah, it was a lot more fun.
Definitely. Speaking of fun, I want to segue back to Maria's book. It is recently out. A great-looking read. Very full. I mean, look at it. You can flip through. Packed with information. Obviously, it's titled Every Girl's Guide to the Diet and Fitness. So it's packed with everything you need to know about, you know, recipes. It's packed with pictures of good diet routines, workout stuff. Pretty much everything. Yeah, exactly. Get educated, people.
I don't know what that's about.
So. I have no idea what that's about, but we can learn because the book's out. Exactly. So if you guys are fans of the show, definitely go check this out. You know, it's a great way to support the show and keep it free for you guys. I mean, we really want to keep giving you guys content of all your favorite shows, not just about Riot. And that's one of the best ways you can contribute. You know, definitely other ways, go to iTunes if you're listening there, rate and review the show. Same with YouTube, just right under. You know, we love comments and hearing from you guys, even on Twitter and anything.
Yeah. Definitely contact us.
Absolutely. Moving to the first segment of the show, slideshow they already started off with. What did you think about the sort of laundromat scene?
I liked how it started because for me it was kind of like a Charlie Chaplin start because it was just her by herself. There was no speaking. It was just kind of her figuring out the laundry. If they did a silent version of that where it was all physical comedy, I think I'd appreciate it much more.
Interesting. Yeah.
I liked that one moment. And then after that, I kind of was like, oh, and the mess begins.
Well, yeah, I think they sort of wanted to make more of a focus. I think the backdrop where it was more machines was sort of a painting, just part of the set. Yeah. So they weren't interacting with that, and that sort of drove the focus to the machines at the top, and I think that it made it easier to follow. I mean, the KS was sort of central to that area, which I think helped. Obviously, when the bubble started exploding, we got a little hectic, but, you know, the show is called Riot, so we expect some.
I do like it when the sets are cleaner. It's just it's easier for my eyes to follow what's going on. I think it's easier for the actors as well to kind of play on the set and enjoy themselves. And everyone did come on with strong characters, and so they were all had something to do, which was nice.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, in previous after shows. Mm-hmm. I think they did a good job, Rove especially, giving them a very specific objective. You know, he said, like, you two are customers, you see each other all the time, mm-hmm. and you don't like each other. Mm-hmm. Then the manager role, you really are going to try to make it as clean as possible. So they each had something to do. And so when they had purpose sort of in the scene, kind of reacting with each other. So that was, I think that sort of worked pretty well. And the clothesline especially made it a lot easier. I think the physical comedy of that, just David Arquette
kind of
shimmying across really helped.
I actually expected more from the clothesline because the promos for the show were pretty much that shot of him on the clothesline and, like, other people around it. So I expected it to kind of be a little bit more hectic. But, no, he did. I really loved David Arquette in this whole thing. He was really great and fun to watch.
Yeah, no, he was definitely positive. I mean, I think a lot of the other actors fed off of his energy. Yeah. He was so positive and sort of energetic. They were able to kind of bring that in and kind of feed it back, which really made a difference. You know, I like where they were going with the laundromat. You know, I'd love to sort of see a little bit more in that area. You know, the clothesline seemed to work and kind of help them. Anything that helps them navigate through, I mean, it's such a tough obstacle. Anything that sort of helps brace them or, you know, like obviously in the other episodes they've had chairs and stuff that help. You know, I think a great scenario would be maybe like a dry cleaners or something where they could have hooks and sort of so swing kind of around or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything that they can kind of monkey through.
Anything to navigate.
Exactly.
I think one part that I did like was when Brian Palermo, finally just gave up and took the stairs and then slid right back down. So I liked that, you know, he was willing to step outside and be like, this is a set and I can take the stairs if I want to.
Exactly. Yeah, he was just like, okay, I'm going to have to pull rank right here. Just we'll do this. But then he just completely slipped and fell. So I guess it's back to square one at that point.
Well, it was fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. Another old fave, Mime Sweeper, was back.
It was back.
This time, which was nice. They kind of went in a different direction, kind of playing the opposite, where instead of only using your body, you only use your words last time.
Yes.
So now we're back to the old ways of Mime Sweeper. Sweeper. And I thought it was good. They revealed something new, the name of the wrecking ball.
Miley.
That
was, I don't know if maybe Rove just improvise that right there. But it was nice. It was like, oh,
it's definitely a fitting name, of course. Obviously, Miley Cyrus and her hit song, Wrecking Ball. I thought it was good. I was very surprised at how fast David Arquette got Vegas, the showgirl. Interesting that that came so quickly to him.
Yeah. I think
to be expected, though, I guess.
I think it's knowledge that he likes party girls recently.
Fair enough. I know he used to be dated or married to Courtney Cox, I believe.
Yes.
But obviously, Hollywood relationships don't always last, as we know.
I don't know them personally. From what I know, gossip wise, they had a pretty good marriage, and they're still very, you know, friendly and on good terms. But I think he does like the party scene a bit.
Fair enough. I mean, as many celebrities do. Plus, I mean, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, as everyone knows.
One can only hope.
Exactly. Except for herpes. They'll come back with you.
Don't take that with you.
Moving on to the next one, Bunch of Jerks.
Yes.
It
was a quick one.
It was a very quick one. Mm-hmm. A lot faster. I mean, they always do sort of the three segments, the questions, the alphabet. And then just sort of a
celebrity,
celebrity
movie,
song, that kind of, category, if you will. I thought it was good. I mean, the questions was a little weaker, I think. The sailors theme, I mean, it seemed like they both kind of gave up a little too easily.
I think they kind of just got stuck in a rut And right. some, you know, sometimes that happens where you're just, you don't know what the next thing you should say is. And
definitely.
You're kind of just repeating each other. So right. I was fine with it ending. That's probably my least favorite of the bunch of jerks. So I was like, yeah, great. It's over.
Well, it does serve sort of as a warm up, though. Yeah. I mean, having that go first, it kind of shakes the cobwebs off. We can get the creative juices flowing a bit more. Because the other ones, I feel like are pretty hard. It seemed the most clear this episode that with the alphabet at least, the actors are definitely not seeing what the audience is seeing. I mean, we see what letter they're that's coming up and that they're on. I don't think that they see that at all in the studio.
I never thought they did. I mean, you never know, but
right.
I think that's actually a stronger one, the one that they should start with, just because it kind of gets people's brains going without having to rely on the right. question form. But yes, it was cute and sad. I mean, David Arquette turned. He was like, I'm dyslexic.
Yeah, just, I don't know. I got nothing. I'm sorry. This is a bad game for me.
And so that's when he was like, okay, yeah, they don't know.
Yeah, I mean, clearly for any dyslexic person, that's probably not their jam for sure. But yeah, no, I thought it was good. It would be so difficult to kind of keep track of each letter, and you'd have to listen so intensely. You know, it's a credit to really how hard improv is, and especially in kind of an acting game like that.
Yeah.
They definitely do a way better job than I personally could.
It's a rough game, that acting.
Definitely. No one ever said acting is easy. And then the ad agency, I thought that was pretty good. Obviously, they got sort of hung up on the Oceans trilogy.
You know, I would struggle with Julia Roberts as well. I mean, I know a lot of her movies, and Pretty Woman is one of my favorite movies, but in terms of phrasing them into a sentence, it's not like Tom Hanks was kind of easier for people
because
he kind of had weirdly enough phrasable movie titles. But when you're going into like Ocean's 11 and then I wish they had said Mary Riley. That would have been interesting.
Right.
But,
I was waiting for Eat, Pray, Love. I didn't hear that. I feel like there's a lot or that's an easier one to kind of create a sentence with.
Yeah. Well, see, now that I'm thinking about it, I have like 20.
Yeah, just, oh, now, after the fact. Of course. I mean, I imagine those actors feel the same way. Just like, oh, I should have said this.
That was funny with the Oceans. It was just kind of like,
yeah, just Oceans.
I have nothing else. So
yeah, it was interesting they let the first one play because even that was sort of out of context. I mean, it definitely works as a Julia Roberts movie, but he didn't really tie it into a sentence that made sense.
He used it as an exclamation.
Yeah, it was just like, Ocean's 11.
Fair enough. I mean, he did have something else he said after it, so I'll give him that. But the other one was just like, Ocean's 12. I don't know what else to say. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I do like that game. I think it does have a lot of potential. I love the version with Tom Hanks because I feel like that's such an easy one for people to sort of pull out and use. I mean, he's got such a wide library.
Yeah, that and Michael Jackson. It was a lot easier with those. I think the further they go, it might get a little difficult, but
definitely they might run out of celebs
any recent stars. You're gonna only have about 5 films now,
right? there's still some A-list celebs to pull through. We've 4 more episodes, so hopefully they can pull for.
I think they'll do well.
Yeah, exactly.
Marlon Brando would be fun.
Definitely. I mean, if the older actor, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, that may make it a little bit more difficult for the viewers and stuff. I mean, it's sort of a primetime show. So I think they're struggling with making it very audience friendly to a wide group of people, you know, kids included.
Oh, yeah. Then they should just do Samuel L. Jackson and Morgan Freeman.
Exactly.
Done. They're in everything.
Morgan Freeman should at least narrate everything. Yeah. I think that's unanimous consent for the world.
The world. If he could just narrate my life as I'm going through
exactly.
I would appreciate that so much. It would be the best ever.
Yeah, if my life is ever a book on tape, it's him reading it.
All the way.
But yeah, we got a new one right after, Floored. And I love this one. I don't know about you, but I think it has huge potential. I mean, just the different scenarios.
Yes.
I thought it was almost better than slideshow in terms of the way that it worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ninjas was kind of a fun one where they could do sort of matrixy fighting and spins. You know, David Arquette obviously did that sort of break dancing,
yeah,
twirl, like somersault twirl thing.
If you have the talent, attack. Use it. Yeah,
exactly.
No, it was easier to watch, definitely, because there isn't so much going on. It was fun to kind of see them figure out how to navigate when you're supposed to look like you're walking on the floor. And when, what was her name? Meryl came in and she flipped around and it looked like she was, you know, doing a handstand.
Yeah, just like stuck on the ceiling.
Yeah. So it was a lot more fun to see that. I do think it got a little cluttered.
Right.
Just because there were so many people and everyone was just kind of spinning. I really wanted a Matrix reference. I was just dying for someone to do a Matrix reference because, you know, it's all about you looking like you're just floating in the air. So
I mean, I kept thinking about the Matrix scene, you know, when Neo fights Morpheus for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically that. So
it was a lot of fun to watch, and it'll be interesting to see like what kind of sets they use with that.
Right, exactly. I was trying to think of what ones would be great. I mean, the ninja obviously nailed it. You know, maybe like a space thing,
yeah, like
or something, or even underwater. You know, I feel like they can have a lot of fun with it. I do agree with you. When there are so many people, it's obviously tough for them to move because they can't really roll over each other.
Yeah.
So maybe three people would be a more kind of workable number.
Limit. Yeah, not four. Four is just kind of, they're all kind of, and you know,
There's
height ratios, and if people are really tall or they have long limbs, so like getting whacked in the face. Or
yeah.
So.
I did love, though, when Brian died, he sort of like
floated up
like an angel.
Yes.
That was hilarious.
No,
so well played.
A lot of fun entrances and exits on that. So,
exactly,
yeah.
Especially, I mean, with the ninja thing, they can kind of be just, there's so many people on the roof.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
they're
like
all just popping
really
down from the roof.
Yeah.
So, fair enough.
Definitely. That, yeah. That was a one I definitely hope comes back, for sure.
That's a lot of fun.
And then we went back to an old fave, the Alpha Body.
Yes.
We actually got a treat. We got two this time.
I really do think it's because the guys were – everything was going really fast.
Right.
Like, they were just picking up on things very quickly. So I think they kind of gave that as maybe a bonus, or maybe they do a few takes and they decided to use two of them.
Right.
Who knows? But it was fun to see them do two of them. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. I mean, it's such a short and quick, sweet one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was great to see them – do it again, and it's just kind of one that I feel like more than some others, the audience can definitely play along.
Yeah.
I mean, I found myself guessing at what the whatever letter was. I mean,
the B.
I was like, what is that?
Well, I think they'd already had one where it was like a weird crotch move, and they didn't want to do like another weird like lowercase B thing. So,
With the first one, Flex, it was possibly the worst F I've ever seen in that game in Alpha Body history.
There was definitely another way to do the F, and it was weird, but it was fun to watch.
Like, yeah, they got it.
Yeah,
they got it.
They figured it out. So
definitely, I mean, yeah, that sort of X factor where there's like one tricky letter,
mm-hmm.
I feel like does sort of play into it and make it a little bit more fun. It's not too easy. It's like, that's clearly an X. This is definitely an E.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is that? Like, and then you can kind of think, what words could they make?
And then when you see it all together at the end, you can kind of figure it out. Like, I was like, oh, that has to be a B.
Right.
For bags.
Yeah, bags. Like, exactly.
It looks too weird. I don't know what else that could be if that wasn't it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought. It's a fun little
definitely one of the highlights for me, at least with Riot is that hopefully they can kind of have fun with that and do more of them. I like the two format, like just back to back,
knock them off real quick.
Exactly.
And it's fun for usually it's fun for the guests.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yes, it looks like it.
Yeah, and then they followed it up with another new one, Dogs at Work.
Yes.
This one was interesting.
It was a little odd.
Yeah, little odd. It reminded me of an old Whose Line Is It Anyway sketch where there'd be just two actors.
Yeah.
One would have his hands behind his back and the other would be unseen, mm-hmm. just doing the hands.
Yeah.
Obviously they can't just plagiarize that completely.
Well, it's an old, I think that's even like Three Stooges type of deal. They could definitely do that. I just think they're trying to, be a little bit more outlandish with some of the games they decide to do.
Right.
The dog, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's so unpredictable with a, you know, an animal. You don't know exactly what they're going to do. And I feel like it'd be hard for the actor doing the hands mm-hmm. to even see what was going on. I mean, I'm very impressed he was able to grab those hot dogs. And
Jordan did a great job. I think he also – they probably let him look at it before right. the dog goes. And maybe he can see a little bit outside, so whatever's in, like, his immediate reach. But he did a very good job. And, you know, he had a little fun with it, with putting, like, the ketchup on the soda and everything. I was waiting for the dog to eat a lot faster than he did. He was very obedient.
Right.
So he did not eat any of those hot dogs until David Arquette.
Yeah, I was surprised that he went for that. I mean, yeah. It basically from the dog's mouth, too.
Well,
the commitment to the acting craft.
He's
yeah, exactly.
I like it. He was trying to share it. He, like, at one point angled the hot dog up to the dog.
Yeah, if he was doing, like, a Lady and the Tramp move. Like, let's meet in the middle.
Maybe it was his dog.
maybe.
So, it was cute, though.
Yeah, no, kind of the first one that involved an animal. So mm-hmm. that was interesting. I wonder if they're going to do that in future episodes.
You know, I think it's a possibility. I've started to realize that they're just going to kind of throw games in and throw games out and
right.
in the back. And it's just going to be more of like a riot type
definitely,
of deal.
Definitely.
Which I appreciate because I think if it had been like the first episode where it was just like the same seven or eight games over and over again, they would probably get a little dry after a while.
Absolutely. So. No, I completely agree. I definitely feel like when they keep kind of switching in games and even the main cast members, mm-hmm. obviously we get two celebrities different each time, mm-hmm. but they kind of switch in and have like a yeah. rotation of other improv actors. And I feel like it keeps it fresh. I mean, you don't really know like, oh, now it's going to be mm-hmm. this. Like now it's going to be this. They sort of not only switch the segments they use, but also the order, too.
Yeah, and you get different dynamics, so it kind of keeps you on your feet. And
right.
When you think it's going to be one thing, it's another. So
definitely.
I thought In the Dark usually comes a lot sooner, so it was nice to see it kind of being a little bit later.
Exactly. You know? And I feel like watching it live, maybe it does flow like that. I feel like, you know, they could just sort of roll with the punches, and if this is really working, let's keep doing this. Which is kind of a unique way to do a show, and it makes it a little bit more interesting that it's not so like,
this is this.
Mixing it up.
Yeah.
Really playing into the Riot name. Exactly.
Yeah,
as
right.
they should.
Hmm.
So kudos, Fox.
Yes. Kudos.
Yeah, then we went back to one of the old formats, the Shadow Puppets.
Yes.
They started off with a really hard one. Great Gatsby, I feel like it's impossible.
Wait, no, they start off with Frozen.
Oh, Frozen.
Crazy easy for Jordan. He got it immediately. But, I mean, it's been so popular lately, I wasn't surprised.
Exactly.
But you thought The Great Gatsby was difficult?
I did. I feel like that's such a hard thing to sort of mime with puppets. I mean, so nondescript in what they do. I mean, the story is obviously very vast, but it's not very, visually distinct.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have the green light, and if you're not going to fake the shooting of Great Gatsby, then I guess it can be a little, I guess I just know that story so well.
Right. But, I mean, but, it's like, how do you recreate old New York within shadows
that's
and stuff?
That's the thing,
it's
when they have to start doing charades where it's like two words, you know, and...
Right.
And they could even just kind of try and spell it like GG and then like have someone
right.
dancing or do some weird Leonardo DiCaprio reference or Robert Redford reference. And
right. With shadows, ways. Though, do you think they could just – that is blatantly Robert Redford. Very tough. I mean, it's just a tough one to do.
It was a tough one.
They could do the symbol for Beats by Dre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just make it rain. The
Actually, oh, no, it was Jay-Z, not Dre. What am I thinking?
Ooh, yes, Jay-Z.
Yeah,
exactly.
My bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I think there were more creative ways, but it is a hard one, and so you kind of have to really think outside the box when you get those kind of like
difficult
ones.
The Lincoln one I thought was again too easy because if they had the hat, I mean, there's only the top hat is a kind of a dead giveaway. But after that, Home Alone, I thought was perfect. That was awesome. I was like,
now that one would have been hard, but yeah. just the face slap. So it was nice that they had the little house.
The house, exactly.
And then they had him run and like do a big move.
Exactly. I mean, I wonder what other kind of props were back there for Great Gatsby. I mean, I feel like the producers and stuff sort of figure out ways that they can the actors can kind of play with what's there. You know, a few episodes back when they were doing Toy Story, they obviously had like the spring and, you know, jagged saws and stuff. I feel like they put out stuff that can be used for a lot of these. Like that, the Home Alone thing, also they kind of recycled it for Animal House.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought those kind of played really well together.
Yeah, I think they don't usually change the props back there.
Right.
'Cause I've seen the same rotation of props. So I guess with Great Gatsby, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done.
Just put the house really far away yes. from the light so
have
it's
him
huge.
reach out to the light. Yeah. Who knows? It was, I could see what they were doing, but if I hadn't seen Great Gatsby, then
right.
I wouldn't know either.
Or read the book.
I've done all three. I've seen the original, remake, and read the book.
So. Well, look at you. Just the Great Gatsby expert.
I don't even like it that much, but yeah.
nice. But yeah, back to In the Dark. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about this one in this episode, not just In the Dark mm-hmm. in general. You know, I feel like the set was a little smaller, which helped a little bit kind of drive where people could stand and kind of move around. You know, the first one that was like a dinner table was very hard to kind of navigate.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, they've had the bed in the past, and that's sort of easier because there's one large object mm-hmm. in the middle. I felt like the setup worked well, but I feel like the objectives could have been a little bit more clear. You know, they were kind of playing with the ring on the guy's finger. They gave him the objective to sort of find the will, but I feel like a little bit more, you know, checking his pockets or opening the other half of the casket, or the coffin, I guess.
Yeah, I think same word, same.
Totally.
Same difference.
Synonyms, yes. Hopefully.
I think that I actually understood this one a little bit better, and they kind of came in, at least with Jessica, she came in with a pretty strong intention of, like, what she wanted, that
right.
she was, like, the money-grabbing woman from Texas. Not all Texans are money grabbers. P.S. I'm a Texan. But she kind of came in immediately reached for his ring. And I always like it when they have a person in there because it's kind of a surprise. Though I will say, for a minute, I thought they could see. Because it just seemed like they were able to look at each other pretty clearly and they were able to kind of navigate pretty clearly. But that might have also just been editing because they were doing a few quick edits to make it not so, I guess, jumpy.
Right.
But I did. I enjoyed this one. I thought that they kind of, I don't think it was necessarily that they had to find the will, but that they were all coming in to discuss the will.
Right.
And then from there, they brought in the neighbor who could, you know, kind of try and get in on the will as well. So it was kind of like a bunch of money grabbing people and them being weird. It's always hectic.
Yeah.
It's always hectic.
Definitely. I feel like maybe they brought in this huge kind of wheels of flowers.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe other props that they could use a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really liked the one with Jason Alexander because they were, you know, kind of playing with
the lotion
and it was kind of messy and they were slapping it all over that guy and they had no idea what he looked like. So that was sort of like a fun moment to just kind of like eke at.
That was a fun one. And I think there was stuff on the table. I just don't think they were going for it. I think it's kind of their decision, you
right.
know. And then also Rove kind of navigated them to the lotion. Whereas with this scene he was just kind of letting them kind of, you know, talk it out.
Right.
So
yeah, again, just such a difficult set to kind of work around. I mean, in Pitch Black.
If they had moved it, I think if the casket or coffin had been where the podium was and the podium had been there, then I think
it would have been like in the back wall. Okay.
A little bit easier. So it was just bad placement.
Definitely. I guess they kind of have to make one side dedicated for the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. That may, you know, that kind of switching the layout of the room could have helped a little bit more.
Definitely.
Maybe just the camera. I like how they have camera guys so they can kind of follow the action.
Mm. Yeah, they're kind of behind. I think they have two placed cameras from what it looks like, because the cameras don't have any type of movement, really. It doesn't look like in there.
Right. I saw a little bit of movement in previous episodes. I don't know if they're kind of like locking off a little bit more.
Maybe.
I know in the one at least with the dining table, there were definite camera guys and they were kind of following it. I mean, that was very chaotic of a segment.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're kind of locking it off a little bit more. Which is good, I think, is sort of focusing it on one specific area of this is where you go to, like, interact with things.
Yeah.
I think helps because they have no idea where to go.
And just thinking back to the Tom Green, Andy Dick one, they immediately found the camera and stuck their faces in it, obviously.
Yeah, and
it seemed stable in that, in that episode.
Yeah, and they kind of got a little distracted with it, and I think that sort of took them out of
they were distracted when they walked in.
Yeah, exactly. Just grab the ficus again.
Yes.
But yeah, then they went back to Slideshow. They had a new kind of setting, painting a new room. Again, I think some of the tools did work. The kind of long paint roller.
Yeah.
Jordan used sort of to kind of like push her away.
Yes.
So I thought that was kind of a good tool for the setting. Mm-hmm. It kind of made sense in that reality. But I mean, that one's definitely tough and obviously high potential for messiness with all the paint.
I mean, as soon as you said paint, I was like, okay, well, maybe someone will just like blatantly throw paint at someone else. And they kind of did that. And it was interesting to see that the two celebrity guys were like, no, we are not doing that. So it was a fun one. It's messy. I think that's the last one's a little bit shorter usually from what I can tell now. And sometimes a little bit messier. It's kind of just like, well, let's just wrap it up and they don't have to continue on in the show. So let's just make it messy and for the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of storyline and the paint was fun, but I don't know. Yeah, the slideshow, it has yet to win me over.
It's such a difficult one. It sort of is mostly about how crazy it is and mm-hmm. a lot less, I feel like, more than any other of their sketches. You know, it's so much so the environment and, you know, so little of the actual improv.
I think the best one was Cheryl Hines. I think the one that
definitely.
She did.
The bar?
Yeah, the bar. Because they were able to play and they were able to kind of like goof off and have little tricks and they could sit down, which kind of sometimes I just want them to sit down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then they can kind of establish a character and it does make a scene. And having to watch a scene while, you know, some things are crazy is a lot more enjoyable than just watching everybody slide and slam
constantly.
Into the corner.
Yeah, it gets old. It gets old after a while.
Definitely. I was very impressed when one of the girls did basically a full splits in the corner.
Yeah, and she just kind of slid right into that. So, but it was, that was impressive. I couldn't just remember if she was wearing her own clothes. I always get nervous that they're wearing their own clothes sometimes. I'm like, this is really messy. And you were
just ruining all that. Well, yeah, I'm sure they have, wardrobe people.
Yeah.
Interesting, though, for the celebrities, because they get pretty messy, too. So I wonder if they're just going in knowing that their clothes are probably going to get ruined.
I think they have the option, which is why some of them sit out. I know with Steve Carell, when he did it, I was surprised that he did wear his own clothes, essentially, except for, like, the uniform and on the T-shirt. So when it started to get messy and there was like oil and like ketchup being thrown, I was like, oh, okay. I guess he's comfortable with that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, because he's going to smell like that for the rest of the show. So it was, it's always fun to see, but at the same time, I always kind of just want to wrap up. And I felt like that, with this one especially, even the audience, it would kind of cut to an audience member and they'd be like, okay, this is old. And David Arquette even kind of was like, okay, this is old. So the last slideshow, if it's not a winner, then it gets a little old.
Definitely. I wonder, because it's sort of becoming the main distinct thing that they do, that Riot does every time. I wonder if that's going to become one that they do switch out. I mean, they've definitely taken some other favorites. Mimesweeper is kind of a staple, too. And they, you know, the other episode didn't have that. So I wonder, maybe they may dial back and just do one slideshow or something. It'll be interesting to see.
I don't think they will, only because the slideshow was the name of the Australian show. Right. And I think that's kind of, and even from the French concept of the show or version of the show, that I think that's the big thing about it, is the 22-degree stage.
Right. I mean, it is unique. There is no other show, at least in America, that does a 22-degree angled stage. So it is tough. I mean, for good reason. It's you can't really do much.
No. But, I mean, hopefully they can, with the sets that they do, they can kind of navigate where they want to take it.
Right.
We can have one be really messy, maybe have one a little more scene focused.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, some I was just kind of brainstorming about might work. I mean, I thought the clothesline in the first slideshow worked well. Maybe like a jungle gym or something, or, you know, they've done military stuff, maybe something with ropes.
Yeah.
Just something to help them. I mean, I feel like the actors get so thrown off when they're, you know, sliding and trying to stop themselves.
They kind of lose everything. Velcro wall.
I really want
that. If they just have it where they can run and jump.
Or just like sticky paper.
I mean, they might have to pad the floor for that one. Right. But yeah, just something kind of to stabilize, or something that's a little bit more interactive for
just giant suction cups.
Yeah, something fun, you know, just to kind of be goofy with.
I think that'd be fun. Yeah, or, you know, maybe just like a plunger. It could be like a crazy bathroom situation.
Anything to stop them from sliding off.
Exactly.
So, I know it's called slideshow, but still.
Yeah, so exactly. We'll I think it's actors versus sliding.
Yes.
Versus the slideshow. But we will wait and see. There's four more episodes. So we are halfway in.
Yeah, next week is Michael Ian Black and Chris Kattan.
Ooh, I think could be the best one. I'm a big fan of both.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mango has a special place in many people's hearts.
I haven't seen Chris Kattan in forever.
Exactly. It's great to see him back. I mean, I think that's kind of a great thing about this show, is they take celebrities that you haven't seen in a while, Tom Green, obviously, and people you wouldn't think have a background in improv, or you could even do that. I mean, I did not expect David Arquette to do that, or you know, Jason Alexander. We see them in such good God. I'm so tongue tied.
Take some water.
Yeah, we see them in such specific roles a lot of the time. You know, Jason Alexander always sort of plays a George Costanza like character. It was great to see him completely different and kind of be him and just be in whatever scene that they were doing. It was kind of a nice treat to see a completely different side.
Yeah, I've seen Jason Alexander in some other things, and he's a really great actor. I think that's kind of the downfall of being in a successful TV show, is that
you get typecast.
Yeah,
exactly.
Don't see you any other way. And with David Arquette, he comes from, for me at least, a pretty comedic background, and he's done some serious things as well. But I definitely expect it, especially with his energy, for him to kind of be on point with it.
Definitely. I thought he did a great job, as did Rob Delaney. I think, you know, both their kind of comedic personalities really helped the episode, you know, kind of go along, and all the actors seemed to respond really well.
Yeah, I think it was a lot more fun for them just overall.
Exactly.
And Rob Delaney and David Arquette were so quick with everything. So I'm sure that was a lot of fun to shoot that day. Or maybe it was horrible. I don't know. But it seemed like a lot of fun.
Exactly. Well, with that, I guess we will just wait and see.
Yeah.
Because we have a week to go. And then we get our next episode with Chris Kattan and Michael Ian Black. Really looking forward to that episode. I love both of them. Michael Ian Black is hilarious as well. And great to see Chris Kattan kind of come back into the limelight a little bit. Adrian, before we go, where can the fans find you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow.
Excellent. And fans, you can always find me at JB_Zimmerman on Twitter and Instagram. We will see you guys next week.
Yeah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.